You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2009, the 16th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in Montreal, Canada, from February 8th through February 11th, 2009.
In this study summary, Shaheen Lachman of Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston discusses her study of the effect of breastfeeding versus formula feeding on maternal HIV disease progression, mortality, and micronutrient levels in a randomized trial in Botswana. After the discussion, there will be a series of questions and answers.
Briefly, about 2 million HIV-infected women per year deliver a baby, and WHO feeding recommendations recommend replacement feeding when it's affordable, feasible, safe, et cetera. But the vast majority of women globally with HIV infections still breastfeed, and in that instance, exclusive breastfeeding is recommended. The question is, does this have any impact on maternal health? The first data to really look at this were published in 2001 by Dr. Ruth Ndwadi from Kenya, and they basically found in a randomized trial of breast versus formula feeding among HIV-infected women in the pre-heart era that mortality was threefold higher in the women who breastfed. It was 11% versus 4%, which was quite alarming. Since then, several observational studies have not confirmed that finding, and in fact, some of them have shown that breastfeeding women have lower mortality, lower health risk, but there are strong reasons to believe that women who are able to breastfeed or choose to breastfeed actually may be healthier to begin with or may stay healthier. So those observational studies are heavily potentially confounded. That's kind of the backdrop for this. And we added on an analysis of maternal health outcomes to a randomized control trial of feeding interventions to prevent mother-to-child transmission called the MASHI study, which was conducted in Botswana and recruited 1,200 HIV-infected women between 2001 to 2003. 598 were randomized to breastfeeding for 6 months with infant AZT prophylaxis to try and prevent mother-to-child transmission, and 602 were randomized to formula feeding. So the main MTCT outcomes have been presented and are not the object of this discussion. Rather, we followed women actually for up to 5 years postpartum. The median duration of follow-up in both of the feeding arms was 4.5 years, and essentially the same in both of the feeding arms. We looked at the primary endpoint, which was time to decline of CD4 to less than 200, time to AIDS illness, or time to death in both of the feeding arms. And what we observed was that 34% of the women in the breastfeeding arm, compared with 28% of the women in the formula feeding arm, progressed to this primary endpoint of AIDS or death, essentially. This did not reach statistical significance, and univariate is point, the p-value is 0.8 and multivariate is 0.07. So it was a borderline trend that did persist with after adjusting for other factors. One other observation that we did make was that in a subset of women whom we tested micronutrient levels and inflammatory markers such as high sensitivity CRP at 6 months postpartum at the end of this feeding intervention period, the CRP was significantly higher in the breastfeeding woman than in the formula feeding woman, which was intriguing and not something that's been looked at before. So I think overall, my take on these data are that they're overall quite reassuring. This is the second randomized feeding trial, perhaps the last one that will look at different feeding methods, and was able to avoid some of the issues of confounding. We did not find higher mortality. It was 3% in both arms. We did not find higher mortality in the breastfeeding woman in this population that actually did have access to heart. I should mention that's an important factor. But we did find an intriguing and not really explainable trend towards faster disease progression in the breastfeeding woman, as well as a higher CRP at the end of the breastfeeding intervention period.
Did I hear you correctly to say that the women who were breastfeeding had higher mortality rates?
No. The mortality was low in both arms. It was unequal. It was 3% in both arms. I'm sorry. Rate of disease progression, so progression to AIDS or death as a composite endpoint, trended towards being a little bit higher in the breastfeeding arm, but was not technically statistically significant. Okay. And that was largely driven by a slightly more rapid decline in CD4 cell count.
Now, you said you were surprised at that finding, right?
I think we were reassured that mortality wasn't different. I think what we were what we're intrigued by actually was a higher C-reactive protein, the inflammatory marker. Mm. That was a little bit surprising, and that's not something that's been looked at before, to our knowledge, in HIV-infected women in relation to feeding.
So do you see any hypothetical protective effect or deleterious effect on breastfeeding particularly? HIV, either disease progression?
Right. I think from the data in some, with the randomized data being, I think, easier to interpret and less subject to all these other complicated confounders, I think in a population of women that has access to heart, there is a possibility that breastfeeding could potentially accelerate HIV disease progression, but it doesn't seem to affect major overall clinical outcomes as long as those women are able to have CD4 monitoring and access to heart, which this population did have.
You mentioned as background that there was some concern that these data might be confused by the fact that women who chose to breastfeed tended to be more likely to be healthy. Were you able to control for that?
Yes, and so I think that there are only two randomized trials. So this study was in 1,200 HIV-infected women, and they were actually randomized. So they agreed to be in the study and agreed to be randomized, and they actually adhered very, very high levels of adherence to the randomized feeding arm. So, and when we looked at baseline characteristics, they were identical, and follow-up time was identical. So that's what makes these data very powerful. The observational studies have other potential problems.
You said that you did not see a significant difference in the women who were eligible for ART. So my question is, do you know about the women who were not? And I also have a question of just whether you had any finer measures of disease progression than just progression to death or to eligibility.
So for this breastfeeding population, other than 71 women who started antiretroviral treatment during pregnancy or before pregnancy, the others, none of them were on treatment. And what we looked at was the time to progression to need treatment, essentially, between the two arms. And that's where we had this hint that maybe it was a little faster in the breastfeeding arm. But as soon as women needed treatment, they were able to get it. And the overall mortality did not differ between the two arms. And we also did look at time to AIDS-defining illness using the CDC criteria, as well as CD4 decline and death. And what we're planning on looking at as time to any diagnosis in light of this finding of the elevated CRP and this question of whether there may potentially be a link of between inflammation and other non-AIDS-related outcomes, but we haven't looked at that yet.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from CROI 2009. For more coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2009.